on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Crunch Time, five times voted the AFLMA's most outstanding radio program. For iPrimus, your NBN experts, call 131 101 today.
It's 11 minutes to 12. This is Crunch Time with thanks to iPrimus. iPrimus, unlimited broadband and NBN plans for all of us. Call 131 101. Greg Swan, the former Carlton and Collingwood CEO, and now Brisbane CEO, is going to join us in the commentary box shortly. Brendan Bolton, we're just waiting for Brendan to answer our call. In the meantime, we'll open the lines up, 942 9 11 16. If you are a Carlton fan, give us a call, 942 9 11 16, as we reflect on last night. Brendan Bolton, the Carlton coach, to join us shortly. So if you're a Blues fan, what is your message for Brendan? Are you seeing the progress? I wonder about the timeline that sort of is in the mind, and that'll change over time, I suspect, Kingy, but yeah. In when they need to see some sort of results, and what are those results?
Look, I think you only get a real guide of the Carlton fans by either coming to the footy or by social media. Now, that's not always a great guide. It's not always a great guide, and there's a lot of negativity on Twitter and the like, but I think a lot of Carlton fans are actually quite comfortable with what's actually happening, and they get told the same consistent messaging time and time again. There'll come a point where that needs to change. I don't think it's now. I think that he's delivering on what he said he'd do. We're going to change the list. We're going to give young players opportunity. They took an incredibly young team to Adelaide last night. So I think we're seeing what he promised we'd see.
That said, what did you think of Matthew Lloyd's column in the Herald Sun? And we all worked there.
Yeah. About the players?
About
the list
really
composition.
Early saying that it was a real negative.
I didn't agree with the Bryce Gibbs, non-trading of Bryce Gibbs. I'll put that on the table. I thought they probably should have got whatever
just
was offered for
him. Take
it,
whatever they could.
Take it, move on, get the rebuild rolling. So I agree with that part of Matty Lloyd's article.
The rest, I mean, there's only so many you can turn over in a year. There's no point. Is there just...
I have a philosophy that if you're going to go on and get a player like a Palmer or a Kerridge or the like, they've got to play. Otherwise, what's the point of getting
them? Well, aren't they backup? I mean, you've got to have a certain number of players.
Well, that's the great thing about the whole conversation is the people in the clubs have different views. I've got a different view to you guys as well. No, I don't totally agree with David's view there. So you've got three differing of opinions. I tend to think that for every three kids you've got, as a basic rule of thumb, you've got to have one bloke who's old and wise and can actually take the heat. So if you don't have enough of those old and wise players, go and get one, because he can stand the heat. Because if cheap. Yeah, if you're in round...
But he has to play.
He has to play somewhere for sure between round 12 and round 18, because that's when the kids...
So you're recruiting players for between round 12 and 18.
If they cost you nickel and dime...
Yeah, let's pick 138 them, or something.
Yeah, if they cost you nickel and dime, you get them so that these kids, you don't kill them during the year.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fine.
Look, I'm probably a closer...
Yeah, I know, but my discussion is more about Bryce Gibbs, really.
Yeah, no, no,
And I don't see the value... I don't see the value in putting 10 games into Reece Palmer. I don't.
You're not putting them into him. No. He's guarding the
I see them as wasted games.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's guarding the other guys.
The kids can't play 22 games.
You don't just play one kid for 22 games. You've got a whole host of kids that would want opportunity.
You stagger there, bro.
And they're staggering them.
They're the youngest team.
Just with that one about the Saints, though.
Bring the coach in.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
He's ready on the line. Joins us now. The coach of the Blues, Brendan Bolton.
He's listening. This is rubbish.
It's 7-12.
Sorry, Brendan.
How are you, Brendan?
Morning, gents. How are we all?
Oh, we're good. Just getting into a bit of a discussion about your team and your list and all those things, which we'll get to as the chat continues. Obviously, a disappointing scoreline in the end. What's your first thought when you woke up this morning, looking back on last night?
Yeah. How do we? We're obviously playing the long game here with our footy team, but full credit to Port, particularly in that third quarter. They came out and put some real pressure on us, and on that ground you can lock it in your half, and they took the game away from us practically in that quarter.
We'll talk... hi, Brendan, how are you? We'll talk a little bit about the list in a second, because it was a really interesting conversation, and there's going to be pros and cons, and there's going to be people for and against and all that sort of thing. We'll get your viewpoint on it in a second, but... To the game to start with, they gave you a real look at it in the back half of the first quarter. In the second quarter, you had some real gilt-edged shots at goal. You probably rue some of those decisions and just hope for a little bit better.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you can be a bit clouded with a big margin at the end of the game, and it's important with our list that we find what did work and what didn't. But by half time, I think forward entries were pretty similar in timing.
Two down, you were, yeah.
Yeah, two down, and timing forward half, I think, was quite similar as well. So we had opportunity. I know Murph, Mr. Gullard usually kicked Jack Silvani and Plowman in the first quarter. So there's three that I can think of off the top. But, yeah, we had some opportunities, but we'll learn some good lessons from this game.
Tell me about the forward half structure then. Levi does charge up at the ball a little bit when he hits the wings, and he's such a powerful mark. Well, gee, I wish he could kick it. I love watching him play.
I bet Brendan does too.
Yeah. But what else is the end composition of Carlton in the forward half? What do you see being, let's say pie in the sky in 3, 4, 5 years' time, that you're right at the sharp end of the tree, who do you see doing what? I know you hate doing this, but if you'd be kind enough to give us a couple of names to actually look and hope forward with.
It's hard to see how it all totally unfolds, Gern, but I like having two tools. We've got Mackay developing in the VFL at the moment. Charlie Kernow and Jack can be that medium tall lead up player, and then Smalls in and around that. So in time we think we've got some good young forwards, but the craft just takes a bit of time, particularly for the talls, and those leading patterns mixed with some decision making forward, we probably went a little bit too quick at the start of the game, cost us from hitting the scoreboard.
Yeah, I noticed that one where the ball got kicked to Levi and he was double teamed. That ball just got to him too quick.
Yeah, it did. I thought we just went a little bit too fast and straight. As we know, we thought we were a good intercept team. So early days, we probably wasted some opportunities. A bit more composure would probably help.
Brendan, the discussion we were having about the number of young players you play at any one time, and you talked about, and Robbo certainly did during the week, about how tricky that ground can be for a young team. Was there any thoughts that you might have been gone too young last night, or you just have to go that way and cop it?
No, I think it's all a balancing act of making sure you've got a mix of both. I've just thought it was just too good of an opportunity for our youngsters to miss. We played, probably added one extra this week in Polson from the week before. But what a great opportunity. Friday night footy, hostile environment, big crowd. In time, as I said, it's a long game. It should pay us back. But by and large, though, I must admit, form counts. And these youngsters have been doing well in the VFL. And we thought they deserved the opportunity.
What about the role of Jacob Wiedering? How much time does that consume at match committee? I know he's playing forward and you need him forward at the moment. But four possessions in three quarters of football, how often do you touch on that magnet to move him back and get him into the game, Brendan?
Yeah, we played him, Kenny, last year, as you know, mainly down back. And he learned his trade there. We just needed a bit more of a focal point up forward while we're developing. And he has straightened us up a bit this year. His game last night was a little inconsistent, he'd be first to admit, but what we do think is we've got a genuine swingman, someone that can play at both ends. He continues to train at both ends and play at both ends.
Brendan, I watched the game with some Carlton fans last night, and if you're a Carlton fan, you are right involved in the Carlton story. They were not looking at the fact that you were getting pulverised on the scoreboard. They were looking at individual acts that players are doing, young players like Charlie Kernow. I had a 20-minute conversation with some Carlton fans about Charlie Kernow last night, and I get the impression that's what you'd want Carlton fans to be having, looking at the individual acts that these young boys are doing.
Yeah, Robbo, we're not going to absolve ourselves that we're going out to try and win every game. I've been quite highly repetitive on that, but just within that, when we are growing as a team, we've got to look at those things. I think you saw last night some of Kerno's aerial work. He's pretty good overhead, and in time with 50 games, that's only going to be more consistent. Saw a chase down this week from Cameron Polson, which we'll highlight. Last week it was Fisher. Jack Silvani still gets looks at goal. So there's lots of little signs that we're excited about, and we can't get too clouded in losses that we don't find those, because it's easy with the emotion of football to miss those little sprouts, as we've been calling them.
Petrescu Seaton stepped through a stoppage in the back pocket in the first quarter with 5 minutes to play, and to me that was the highlight of Carlton's night, because that kid did something which the last time I saw a Carlton jumper do that, it was Chris Judd.
Yeah, you're right, Dan. We saw that as well. He's got really good agility and got good composure. You notice when Sano wins the ball, although, you know, he is young and not winning enough of it yet for a full-blown midfielder, he's got poise and can hit a target. And we need guys that can execute under pressure, and we think we've got one here.
Brendan, after the game, and the way we're talking now, when we've had 24 hours to say, right, what do? We've got to look at the positives. Is it a coach's job to look for positives out of that game, or is it also the coach's job to sit down and say, you know what, everyone, that third quarter was absolutely unacceptable? Do you still whack them hard, as well as trying to find the positives to encourage them? And how difficult, as a coach, is it to whack them, cuddle them, come here and smack them down? I mean, it must be so hard.
Yeah, Robbo, me and many of our players go on that emotional roller coaster of the win-loss, and it's important that, as I've said before, we don't get clouded. But what I try and do is try and keep our reviews very measured. The positive little signs that we've discussed today, we'll highlight and share and feel good about them. If there's anything in our game that lacked effort, we will challenge significantly and hard. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. Anything in and around setting up our structures well, or where there needs to be more compliance, we'll challenge that as well.
So at three-quarter time, all right, the siren's gone. We've all just watched, and you've just watched a difficult quarter of football for your team, quite embarrassing. Did you run to the huddle? Did you walk calmly to the huddle? What was your tone when you got to the huddle?
I'll try and, I'll challenge anything effort related, but you can't live in the past in this game. It moves so quickly, and if you're locked up on what's just happened, you can't move forward. And we just talked about how we're going to approach the last quarter. We tried to change angles with the footy a little bit more. And to the players' credit, our contested possession numbers in the last were quite strong. So, again, although that's only a little thing, it's something that they can take away, that they just didn't shut up shop totally in the last quarter.
You know, I don't know if you heard the back end of our conversation before. There would be Carlton supporters, and they're taking Mark's line. You know, they're loving seeing what these kids are capable of doing. They haven't put their games together yet, obviously, because they've stepped into senior footy, and bigger bodies are going to do that to them and keep them down a little bit for a little bit longer. The acquisition of players like Rhys Palmer and the likes, can you tell Carlton supporters, as I said, I don't know if you heard the back end of our conversation, but...
No, I didn't, Dan, sorry. Yeah,
that's fine. So without prompting you in any way, shape or form, can you tell Carlton supporters the reason behind the likes of Rhys, a third club player?
Yeah, well, as we know, Rhys has been a real competitor. He can hit the scoreboard and finds the ball. And without being specifically talking around Rhys, we're just going to make sure we've got some sort of balance in our list build. We know we've got some really top-end talent. We've also injected some youth. And in our middle tier, we need some depth, because it's going to be a long year, and it's really important that these guys with stronger bodies can help our kids, because it's going to be difficult for our kids to play 22 rounds in what is probably the most brutal competition in the world.
Can I ask you about, at what stage do you worry about the scoreboard, Brendan, as a coach? You have to put numbers back at times. You don't want these kids maybe to be get beaten up in terms of what the scoreboard reads. How do you balance that and the fact that you still need them to be able to play the way you want them to play and not just put numbers behind the ball?
Yeah, it's always a balancing act. You know, the third quarter is one this year that did get away from us, and on that ground, 10 minutes up, it's quite difficult. So we did have to try and assist with numbers. But, by and large, hopefully our effort holds up enough and the scoreboard doesn't get out of hand, that you don't have to manipulate numbers. But there's times in games, even the good teams need to manipulate numbers to just hold it up now and again. But it is a balancing act.
At what point does it tip towards protecting the scoreboard? Do you have a figure in your mind?
Yeah, I reckon most coaches make a move if there's a momentum swing of three or four goals pretty quickly.
It's great. Thanks for coming on, Brendan, because you're in a position, this football club, and you're always trying to get the message out to your fans. And I think it's really important. But it's a really interesting stage for you. You come in when this club is at ground zero, this team and this build, and it's going to take time. It's going to take 5-6 years to get a team up, because that's just what history tells us. How do you handle, for example, an article written earlier this year, and I don't know if you read it, I don't know if you were told about it, a bloke called Patrick Smith wrote an article and basically said, you're a waffler. You're a waffler. You just waffle. Do you expect that as a coach, that these things are going to come, these articles? Do you think to yourself, geez, this has come early? I'm one year into my coaching career and I'm stripping, and the club has stripped this team back to the barest of bones and started it again. How did you handle that?
To be perfectly honest with you, Rob, I don't try and let the external noise impact on our decision making. We've got a really clear plan on where we're going, and we're not going to deviate from that. What I do know, though, is we're all entitled to opinions, and we're really fortunate that our game has the media, because those opinions help generate energy and excitement and allow us to work in what we love. So I know that's all part of it, and it's going to come with it. We're on a journey. There'll be some real ups and there'll be some rocky roads, so the opinions will come and go.
Has your confidence from the moment you got the job until now, is it harder than what you thought it was going to be? Do you think yourself, right, I've got even a better handle? Now, of course, you've got a better handle on it. You hadn't coached before. Is it harder than what you thought? And are you really proud of the fact that this football club, led by the chairman, Mark, that he's going to stand by you while we're going through this difficult build? Because you're going to have some horrific results. Horrific. And they're still standing strong with you.
Yeah, well, we're really united as a footy club. I know last year we said that regularly. We've got a vision. Stephen Silvani's building a list. Off the field, Stephen Trigg and Mark Lajudice are totally aligned. We communicate weekly, so we know where we're going. And the good thing about it is the communication channels are open and continue to be.
Do you need to be told? Do you need to be told on a day like today? Not told. Do you need a call support from the CEO or the Prez, or just to say, hey, chin up, it was a bad loss last night, but geez, how good was Charlie Curnow and how good was Petrescu Seaton? You know, did you get those kind of sort of supporting phone calls?
Maybe I shouldn't be saying this publicly, but I can and I will. I've already had 3 phone calls. You know, I've had one today from Stephen Silvani, I've had one from Mark Lajudice, and one from Stephen Trigg, which just shows how united we are, and that's really appreciative, because we all ride the emotional roller coaster of win and loss, but we just can't be clouded as a footy club.
Well, the biggest thing I take out of that is you pronounce it Lajudice, not Lagudice.
It comes a time in a coaching career when you don't mind the individual phone calls at the start. It's when they're together and making the one phone call at the end that's a concern.
Yeah. Hey, Brendan, just before we let you go, just interested in game style on a couple of matters broadly in the competition. You were one of the first clubs to be able to restrict a team to under 100 this year when all the scoring was happening. Do you sense that it's... Do you think that it's sort of the scoring as the year's going on is going to drop away, as it seems to gradually be doing? But second part of the question, your handball numbers are a lot lower than most other teams. Is that by design, or is it a matter of personnel and you need to get more of those running type players to be a bit more creative as you grow?
Yeah, I think by and large most teams are trying to be really aggressive with the ball movement, and I think that's important. I think people like to see scoring and the game open up and flow. So all coaches do their best to try and defend and slow that up. And the second part of your question was us. We probably overhandballed and got a little bit too aggressive and straight with our ball movement early, and got hurt on turnover. So we're just trying to make sure we get the right balance between moving the ball quick and controlling a bit more by foot.
Brendan, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks, gents. Appreciate
Thanks, Brendan.
That was terrific.
Well done.
Yeah, well done, Robbo.
And that's not that. He is, when he opens up, and I think coaches get more comfortable as they go along. I remember.
I think he's more comfortable now that he knows the message has been sold and people aren't going to come for him. How did you get, you know, give up a 100-point loss or 90-point? I think he's more comfortable and then he'll open up more. since he understands that the rest of the football public understand where they're going.
I spoke to Heard about this. I spoke to Alan Richardson about it when they first become coach. They don't say a word publicly. They don't want to challenge the AFL or throw up ideas. They just want to head down, bunker down, my job.
Which you understand.
Absolutely. But as they go on, they get a little bit more confident with themselves. And Brendan, that was a really revealing interview from Brendan Bolton.
It's an entertainment business at the end of the day, and you've got to drag the fans with you. They've got to know what's going on, where we're looking to get to, how long it's going to take us, and give us some stories.
Give us some laughs
and
smiles. That
was great. Him saying the three calls. It was a great question that he had three calls this morning. Oh, I think that's refreshing, isn't it, for Carlton fans?
All to give him the full support of the board. It's 10 past 12. Morris from Croydon, before we break, we did ask for calls. We won't have a time for a lot, but we will take your call before the break. Thanks for holding on, Morris.
Hi guys, how are you going?
Great, thanks.
Just with the Carlton side and that, and what I've just noticed, in the last, 4 or 5 weeks, is I'm impressed with the young guys. You can see what they're trying to do, as in Plowman, Marchbank, and I think that McLeody, whatever his name
McCready.
Is, has got potential there. So I can see a bit of a spine happening there. Cripps and Wiedering last night looked absolutely injured last night.
Still got it 30-something times, Cripps.
Mm. Yeah, I know, but he looked injured, though. Wiedering, I don't know what happened to him. He looked like he was shot.
Well, I don't think Dermot Brereton would have got a kick last night in that game if he was playing forward, and Derm's one of the greats, because being a young key forward in a side like that and the ball movement how it was and the numbers that they were getting back and then exploding away, he was just chasing air all night. He would have ran more defensively than maybe he's ever ran before.
Yeah, they needed a bit of X factor forward of the footy just to get on the end of it.
They're going to have a couple.
They'd have their time, though, where they had some momentum. Carlton had a chance to put some score on the board.
But from what we've seen so far, Kingy, that's not the area where... When Wiedering did really well against Rance... It's a totally different situation to what presented the ball to Carlton in the first half.
You know what annoyed me last night? Levi Casbolt on the wing went up by himself and dropped the mark on the wing, and my Carlton crew went ballistic.
You're mixing with the Carlton crew now.
Well, don't say too much, they'll be listening in.
Since you've moved to Warrandyte, you really have become one of the locals.
But they were so angry because he dropped the mark on the wing. And they just went and kicked a goal. And then they kicked another goal. Then they kicked another goal.
All right, we need to take a break.
I just got so frustrated. Levi, there's your bread and butter, champ. Craig, uncontested marks.
Greg Swan's, he used to be at Carlton. He's not anymore. He's in Brisbane now. He's going to join us next here in the box at Etihad Stadium. It's 12 past 12, crunch time for iPrimus. iPrimus and those unlimited broadband and NBN plans for all of us. Call 131 101.